can make it, do it, makes us all the better, faster, stronger. On 1116 SEN, The Flame with Jason Richardson, featuring the latest from the world of track and field.
And welcome to The Flame. So much to talk about in the world of track and field over the next half an hour. My name's Jason Richardson. Great pleasure to be in the chair to talk track and field right here in 1116 SEN. It's Melbourne's home of sport for the next half an hour. It's Melbourne's home of track and field. As we look back on what it was an amazing meeting last night in Sydney. Of course, that girl again, Sally Pearson, just a star, isn't she? And her star continues to rise, not only within the athletics fraternity, because her star's as high as it goes, being the World Athlete of the Year, but I think in mainstream Australia, more and more people are understanding just how brilliant this young lady is, and she was outstanding last night in Sydney. But not just her, because we're going to chat to Lauren Bowden shortly and also Henry Frame. They were two of the big stars who did some amazing performances. Lauren Bowden, an Olympic qualifying mark in the 400-metre hurdle. She ran 55-45. She defeated the 55-50 she has to do to get on the plane towards London. So she will be ecstatic this morning, five-time national champion. And what about Henry Frame? This is this outstanding triple jumper who decided to have a little jump in the long jump last night. I think he was the sixth fastest in Australian history all time last night. He jumped 8.27. And what he also did, he had 28 centimetres to his PB. He also is the new best Australian long and triple jump double, beating Phil Mays, who had who had personal best of 8.04 and 17.02 for the long and the triple. Well, he's gone 8.27 after jumping nearly out of the pit last week in the triple jump. So he is just flying at the moment. Write his name down. He's a young man, but he's a young man going places, called Henry Frame. So much to talk about. We'll have a chat to Lauren Bowden very shortly. I'll bring you up to speed with other international news before we go and dedicate most of the program, of course, towards the Sydney meet. Jamaica's Michael Frater, part of the successful 4x1 relay team of the mighty Jamaicans, was interviewed recently. He was talking about Usain Bolt. He believes that Usain Bolt needs to choose between the 4x4 and the 4x1. He said he can't do them both. He was speaking in Birmingham ahead of last night's indoor Grand Prix meet. Frater thinks Bolton doesn't need to prove himself beyond the triple gold prospect of a 1, a 2 and a 4x1. And that adding in the 4x4 will leave him fatigued for his pet relay event. I find that hard to believe, Michael. He won't have a run in the heats. He'll only do it in the final. It's the very last event in the championship, so I wouldn't get too bogged down with that. China's Liao Zhang Lu has spoken for the first time since the World Championships in Daegu and said he didn't think Cuba's Dayron Robles intentionally tried to pull him back in the 110 hurdles final, which essentially cost him that medal. We'll all remember that, watching Lu and Robles when Robles looked like he was going to be passed by Lu, and then they clashed arms, and Robles lost his chance of winning a gold medal there by getting disqualified, or being demoted, if you like, and Lu just lost that little bit of momentum. And Jason Richardson actually came through and won the gold. Swedish long jumper Carolina Kluft will not take part in the European indoor season after an operation on her shin and will instead concentrate on preparing for the London Olympics. Of course, former outstanding heptathlete. But all the attention, of course, was last night at the Qantas Australian Athletics Tour in Sydney. So many great highlights, but I think Lauren Bowden was the star. And Lauren joins me now. She's got out of bed. Congratulations, Lauren. Thanks for getting up out of bed and chatting to me early on a Sunday morning. You must still be on a high.
Yeah, I think I am. I was surprised I managed to get a bit of sleep last night. So, up early to have a chat to you and then on with the day.
What time did you get to bed?
Oh, it was probably around 1, but that wasn't from, excessive partying.
That was
the process after the meet. Like, it just, by the time you talk to all your family and you sign a few autographs, and thankfully I didn't have to have a drug test.
Oh.
But, even just ordering dinner and waiting for that and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, it takes a while, but it was good fun.
And no doubt the phone was running hot as you, your family and all your friends started to hear about the result. And, well, girl, without getting ahead of ourselves, there's a plane that's going to be leaving to go to London for the Olympic Games, and there's one with a seat that's got your name on it.
Yeah, I think initially, I mean, it was just relief. And for anyone that didn't see the footage, make sure you watch on Channel 9 at 1 o'clock today for the highlights. But, because my time was just so close under the actual qualifying time, I was hoping it didn't round up and end up being over the qualifying time. So I was just praying and hoping that, you know, they were going to be kind. And I think, you know, the moment they confirmed the time, it was initially just relief and then obviously happiness. And, I sort of didn't know what to feel, and then like saw all my family and friends who were there, and that was obviously great. And then when I saw my coach, Matt Beckenham, I think it just sort of all sunk in, and we both got a little bit emotional together because, I mean, obviously it's a big achievement as an athlete, but it's just as big as a coach, and this is Maddie's first Olympic qualifier. So,
oh, that is fed.
Massive congrats, and obviously thanks to him as well.
Yeah, well, Matty B, of course, well, he's got an Olympic blazer himself, and he's now going to coach you, who's got one. So that's an extraordinary. And of course, Matt came through an era with behind Rowan Robinson when the 400-meter hurdlers, there was a few guys that were really pressuring each other. And good competition domestically brings out the best in our athletes. You and Yana, we just can't wait to get you both healthy and fit at the one time. You're doing the right thing, but Yana can't get herself together at the moment. But I'm looking forward to her getting on the track and pushing you, because this 55-45, you might go quicker again.
Yeah, that's right. I think the fact that I've been able to do it here in Australia with, you know, not a lot of competition to push me is obviously extremely promising for me. You know, I'm excited to think what I can run when I've got 7 other girls who are, you know, in front or just behind me. So, I mean, everything in perspective last night, you know, as well as being a qualifier, it was my fastest time in Australia and also my 3rd fastest ever. So I'm only 0.2 off my PB now, which I ran in Japan in 2010 and, you know, in one of the best tracks in the world. And, to think that I've gone that close to it, it's pretty exciting, really.
Well, you ran 56.62 in Canberra. Now you've gone 55.45 in Sydney. We come to Melbourne, we come to the Olympic trials and also the big Melbourne meet, which is traditionally the biggest crowd throughout the Qantas Australian Athletics Tour. You'd be looking to really push towards 55.
Definitely, and, you know, to run another A would be ideal, and obviously to win the trials and just really make sure there's no doubt in the selector's mind that, you know, I'm in shape, I deserve to go, and I've done everything to prove that I can. And it's the first time that I'll be running at the new track in Melbourne, so hopefully it's good to me.
you'll burn around there, it's blue, it'll suit you perfectly. What about, 400 metres, are you still going to be, are you going to push to try to be eligible also to run the 4x4? Do you have to, what are the selectors telling you there? Do you have to do a flat 4 to show them the speed on the flat 4, or just your performances on the 4 hurdles will get you there?
I mean, I haven't really discussed it that much with the selectors, but Eric Collingsworth has always encouraged that I go for my individual event and don't sacrifice running that just to run a 400, so I guess things might change a little bit now, you know, if and when I get selected after trials. I think our relay team has got a lot of work to do just to get selected. So, I'm available for whatever meets they want to try and get us qualified for. But at the same time, you know, I have to think about my preparation for the hurdles and what's going to get the best result in London.
Oh, but it's fantastic. Well, we spoke to you about a month ago, Lauren. You're up and about and you're looking forward to a big season. And a couple of meets later, you've already got Olympic qualifier. You must be pinching yourself thinking, gee, it's come a lot quicker than maybe you thought. And a lot of people would have thought that you've got the qualifier so early. It gives you so much satisfaction that you can now really set up your year, plan ahead, and make sure that come London, you're absolutely peaking.
Yeah, that's right. And it was always a plan that Matt and I had, you know, in the perfect world, we'd sort of mapped out the domestic season here in Australia. And we sort of said, yeah, Perth, Sydney, run the A's, win the trials, get selected. So, you know, I'm not far off that. And as you said, like, it just makes planning a lot easier. I was sort of hoping that Perth wasn't my one and only chance and that, you know, Sydney and Melbourne would be bad conditions, and then I just missed it in Perth. But last night was, you know, pretty awesome, and obviously really happy with how I ran. And, yeah, after trials we can really plan out the next few months and, you know, go into some base training and just try and run, you know, some massive PBs over in London.
There'll be a lot of people who are listening at the moment that trying to understand the qualification system. And I suppose it was changed a lot a decade or so ago when the athletes were sort of approached the selectors in many ways and said, listen, we just want something in black and white that if we run a certain time, then we'll be on the plane to a World Championships or Olympic Games, etc. So you've got the qualifying time. Does that mean you have to, do you have to do anything else now to get officially on the Olympic team? Do you have to win the selection trials, or the fact that you've got that qualifier now, you're there?
You have to win the selection trials. In some events where it's extremely competitive, you have to finish top three.
Correct.
And, I mean, it does get a bit tricky if you've got qualifiers and you don't win and all that sort of thing. But for me, I mean, I think Athletics Australia ideally want to see that you didn't sort of just fluke a qualifier.
No, that's right.
You're in consistent form. So I think that they would like at least two from people and then to win the trials. I think that will get you automatic selection when they name, you know, the rest of the team in March. But, I mean, everyone's got until the 11th of June to actually qualify. So I guess, you know, if you have won the trials without any qualifiers, that's probably a good thing too, and it still gives you a chance to be selected after those trials. It may just be a little bit up to the discretion of the selectors, which it's a position I've been in a couple of times, and it's not great.
No. Well, you're going to limit, you just take them out, take that totally out of their hands by just going out and winning the trials, popping out another qualifier, and then you'll have a nice Qantas ticket coming your way.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, obviously while I'm extremely excited and relieved at the moment, there's still work to do. And as quickly as the season's come and gone, the trials are the one, you know, big major meet we've still got to go. And, you know, there's still a bit of business there to be done. So I think once they're over, I'll really be able to relax and just focus on the next couple of months.
Well, we're cheering hard for you last night. Well done. That was awesome. Thanks so much for getting up early after only a few hours sleep to have a chat to me. We'll be cheering you on in Melbourne. And once again, Lauren, congratulations.
Thanks, Richo, and thanks for the chat.
Good on you. What a star she is. Lauren Bowden, well, put her name down. She's going to be a girl to follow as we build up towards the London Olympic Games, because she set it out perfectly there. She articulated what's ahead of her in regards to getting selected, but don't worry. She'll be on the plane because she's got a qualifying time, and she's shown time and time again that she's an elite athlete at the world level. So we look forward to her going well. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and give you all the other highlights from the Sydney meet and then chat to a man with a famous surname in track and field in Frayne who, we thought he was a triple jumper. Well, he bounced 8.27 in the long jump last night. He can seriously go. His name's Henry Frayne.
The Flame on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Work it, make it, do it, makes us older, better, faster, stronger. On 1116 SEN, The Flame with Jason Richardson, featuring the latest from the world of track and field.
And we're looking back on what an amazing meeting it was last night in Sydney, part of the Qantas Australian Athletics Tour. We've already just spoken to Lauren Bowden, who was a star in the meeting with that Olympic qualifying time in the 400-metre hurdles. She ran 55.45. Let's go through some of the other results. Of course, one of the stars was Sally Pearson. In fact, she is the star. Let's be frank about that. She blitzed in the 100 hurdles. She ran 12.66 with a 1.6 metre per second tailwind. It was her fastest ever time in Australia. And for her to go 12.66 this time of the year, well, the world is her oyster come the middle of the year, because she is just simply flying. If she can keep her body together, she's given Nia Ali a fair touch-up, the USA visitor, who ran 13.37. She's just gapped her, and she continues to totally dominate the 100-metre hurdles. She returned later in the night to clock another Olympic qualifier in the 200 metres, which was her very first qualifier in that event. She hoped to run sub-23 for the very first time, but she was unable to achieve that. She ran 23.06. It was the first time she had run below the Olympic qualifying standard. So she won the 200 metres easily. 23.06 defeated Charlotte Van Veenendaal from Victoria, who ran 23.60. She's going well. And Melissa Breen continues to be a consistent performer with 23.75 coming in third. So she was the star. Yusuf Abdi was a star as well. He competed in the 3,000-metre steeplechase, as he always does, and he ran 8:22.01, third qualifier for his resume. He now just needs to win the Qantas Melbourne Track Classic to secure a nomination for London 2012. The race was won by Kenyan Kipkochi, who ran in 8:19.04. So he's going well. Is it Yusuf Abdi, who's been a consistent performer for such a long time, hasn't he? Now with the New South Wales Institute of Sport. Johnny Steph, well, the 400 metres, the men's 400 metres, well, he caused a sensation, didn't he, winning in Perth. Well, he defeated the world record holder in the 800 metres, David Radisha, by running 45.61, and defeated Radisha, who ran 45.82. Ben Offerins, 46.09, can't run 40 sub 46 at the moment, most of the other boys, but they'll be looking to improve as the season goes on. Kevin Moore ran fourth. He was right on the line there with Ben Offerins. Sean Rowe improved a little bit, 46.40 in fifth, though he'd be wanting his form to pick up. Greg Nixon from the USA and Steve Solomon. Gee, it was a hot 400-metre race, but Johnny Steph has come through again to defeat the world record holder over the 800 metres, running in a 400. So Johnny Steph gets another scalp, and you could imagine that he would have been a highlight on the program, because no one can celebrate like our man. Now, other news, world and Olympic 1500-metre champion Asbel Kiprok won his first race in Australian soil in the 800 metres in 145.91. Jeff Risey ran 146.55, though, which is terrific. He's on his way. He made a late charge. He was held up at one stage in that event, but he hit the line really nicely. So he has he's moved from fifth to second all-time and across the line in 146.55 he ran there, because he was caught up in a little pocket. Got out of that interference, moved from fifth into second, and second behind the Olympic champion in Kiprok, and Lachlan Renshaw finished third in 146.9. So many other results to go through, but now let's chat to another one of the stars of last night. And his name is Henry Frame. Those track and field fans would know that surname. And Henry Frame is making a name for himself, not only in the triple jump, which we'd seen him jump sub over the top of 17 metres, but then we decided to go in the long jump last night, and he bounced a lazy 8:27. He joins us now. Henry, you have got some serious ups, my friend.
Yeah. Hey, mate. How's it going?
Mate, I'm very well. You've sound like you haven't had any sleep as well. Of course, you would have competed late last night. The adrenaline would have been pumping. You probably had some drug testing to go to as well. What time did you get to bed?
Yeah, it was a bit of a late one, or early this morning, I guess you'd say. Probably about 3 I got to bed, so it's only been, 5 hours, so yeah.
Mate, how are you feeling? Can you believe that you jumped 8:27 last night in the long jump?
Yeah, no, I don't really think it sunk in, because I didn't really come in thinking that I was going to jump that far. You know, my old PB was 7:99 and had been for just a few days short of 3 years. So in my mind, I just wanted that 1 centimetre to get to the elusive 8 metres. So, yeah, couldn't believe it. I went 8:27 in the end.
Well, you showed you're in such good form during the rest of the tour by your triple jumping, where you're performing amazingly well. That's your number one focus, though?
Yeah, it's what, you know, 90-95% of my training goes into. Obviously, there's quite a few similarities between the training in long and triple, but when you put that much time and effort into one event, yeah, it's definitely going to be your main focus. But yeah, it's a bit more technical, I guess, and just takes a little bit longer for things to come together. But yeah, that's the main focus. I'll be jumping that in Melbourne in a fortnight.
Well, we saw it from back in the old decade a couple of years ago. Andrew Murphy, he was able to triple jump, long jump. He even at one stage was running some really good 100-metre sprints. How quick have you gone over the 100?
Not in Murph's region. No, not quite. Not yet. I haven't done the 100 official for a while, but quite a bit slower, up close towards 11 seconds.
I'd be tipping though that now I think you might surprise yourself. It seems that your speed and also your strength is just going brilliantly at the moment. You train with Mitch Watt, so you know what it takes to do a good long jump. 8.27 though, that is getting into, you know, rarefied air from an Australian point of view. I think it moves you to sixth all-time and also number one all-time when you combine your long jump and your triple jump performances, going past Phil May. I think he had a PB of 8.04 in the long and 17.02 in the triple. So you are in pretty rare air in Australian track and field.
Yeah, cheers. Some of those stats weren't known to me before, but, like you said, I train with Mitch Watt and Gary Bourne up in Brisbane now, and we've been able to put a few things together over the last 2 years that I've been up there, and it's coming together, and I'm happy to be able to sort of get long jumps and triple jumps out there, and I hope I can continue to push them, because I think that puts my long jump distance back in front of my triple jump, which has been in the past. I like to just have a go at being my better event for a while.
Yeah.
So I'll be striving to put triple jump back in its correct spot.
Well, and you've got a you got a nice scalp last night as well. Fabrice Lapierre came second in 8.04, sorry, should I say, who is, you know, we know how much of a world performer he is. So there's another scalp for you. Trying to get the triple jump, though, trying to get the qualifying marks, trying to get on the plane for the triple jump is the focus as you come towards Melbourne. And confidence, naturally, would be high. Strength levels are good. Your speed is good. Technically, everything's good. So for the next 2 weeks, is it just a matter of ticking things over and just continuing to do what you're doing?
Yeah, it's probably just technical sessions. If I can get them in for triple jump, that'll help me at this stage. We've done quite a lot of work on my run-up, so it'll just be a bit of last-minute stuff with that. But that's coming along nicely, and yeah, it's really just fine-tuning. So, you know, timing for triple jump is really where I've lacked so far, and I can add distance. So that'll be what I'll work on this next fortnight up in Brisbane, and, yeah, see how we go down there.
I'm looking forward to seeing you in Melbourne, mate. The name Bruce Frayne's very famous name in Australian track and field. Is that your uncle, isn't it?
Yeah, that's my uncle.
So have you spoken to him a lot about track and field? Or was he any sort of an inspiration why you got in the sport, or you just got in the sport by luck or through your dad or your parents? How did it all start?
I do talk. We're in contact over the last few years quite a bit, different stages. He's helped me, when I was between coaches and that sort of thing. He's definitely been an inspiring factor. Once I was in track and field, you know, to sort of try and live up to the family standards. But it's probably more my dad that got me actually into the sport. He was a long triple jumper, and unfortunately had a knee injury that sort of put him out of the triple jump indefinitely. So, but he was a horizontal jumper, and that's probably where the initial inkling to do the horizontal jumps came from, and it's just gone from there.
Well, it'd be great to see another Frayne with an Olympic blazer, mate. Good luck. Can't wait to see you in Melbourne. Keep up the good form, and good luck for a couple of weeks' time for trials.
Cheers, Jason. Appreciate it.
Good on you. There he is, Henry Frayne. He's a young man that is going places. Other results just quickly. Tamsa Manu won the 800 metres in 2:01.53. So she's on her way. Zoe Buckman made a hat-trick of wins on home soil when she won the 1,500 metres. Collis Birmingham won a thrilling 1,500 metres, or came second in a thrilling 1,500 metres behind a USA, David Torrance. But he obviously was the first Australian home. Valerie Adams, the World Olympic champion from New Zealand, dominated the shot put. And Stephanie Brown Trafton from the USA won the discus, but Danny Samuels once again threw over 60 metres, which is good news for her. Big show. We've had a couple of superstars of Australian track and field on the show. Keep with us. Looking forward to chatting to you next week on track and field. But we're going to talk cycling now with the Subaru Cycling Show.
The Flame on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.